Now, as far as investing in a bear market, I think it's all about quality, in my opinion. I don't think now is the time to really be reaching and going more into risk as far as investing in companies that are not making money or not real businesses and things like that. I think you should go for quality at this time. I'm not saying forever, but at this time during a bear market, I think your quality S&P 500 companies that are inside that fund, I think those are safe bets to put your money into during a bear market. So that would probably be my advice as far as investing and trading. And just be careful. You gotta watch yourself, and I would say you gotta be more on the conservative side than aggressive side in times like this. There'll be a time to be more aggressive, but now is probably not the time to be going too hard.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Eternal Money Podcast. I'm your host, Freddie McKeon, and joined with me, as always, by my brothers, Nick and Nelson. We are three regular 9-to-5 job employees who are on the path to financial freedom. We created this podcast to share our knowledge and opinions with the hope of inspiring others to lead a similar lifestyle. Each week, we'll go over the following on our podcast: state of the market, buy zone, watch list, and our weekly topic train discussion. We are also here to learn from each other and you, the listener, so please drop any questions or comments that you may have at any of our social media outlets. Follow us on Instagram at Eternal Money Podcast, follow us on Twitter at Eternal Money Pod, and find us on YouTube at the Eternal Money Podcast. Now, before we begin, let's go over our disclaimer. We are not financial advisors. The ideas and opinions expressed in the Eternal Money Podcast and any of its guests are for general information and entertainment purposes only. Any reliance on the information provided in this podcast is done at your own risk, so please do your research. Now that we got that out of the way, how was your week, guys?
Flip, my brother, what's going on, man? How you doing? How was your week?
Oh, it was great, hot, but staying cool at the same time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's all we can do, right? But yeah, good week, bro. I'm happy to be here. I'm excited, and look forward to talking about the market with you guys.
Good week in the market, hot week in New York, we stay cool, we're staying alive out here, yes, man, sir. You know? Stay hydrated, people, stay That's hydrated, right. Because the whole world is hot right now. Global warming is real,
yeah,
I guess.
Man. But especially in our area, in New York, the tri-state area, it's been brutal, man. This week has been steamy. So for all the people, including my brother Nelson, that are working outside and all that stuff, big ups to you guys. You guys have the respect, man.
Yep. Stay hydrated, stay cool.
Yeah. Hey, listen, got to pay those bills, man, you know?
You know?
You got it, man. Got to do what you got to do. You got to put the hat on and keep going, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, we want to shout out the listeners and the followers. We appreciate the support and the love that you guys have been giving us. We see all of it. We see all the comments. We see all the DMs. We see all the follows and the subscriptions and everything. And we're very happy with it. So we're glad to be giving you guys some value. And, thank you so much, guys, for supporting us and giving us your love.
Appreciate that. Appreciate that.
Thank you for the love. All right. So, fellas, let's get this started. In this next segment, State of the Market, in the week ending July 22nd, SPY went up 2.59%. QQQ went up 3.47%. DIA went up 2.05%. And IWM went up 3.71%, fellas. Woo! What are your takes on these?
I mean, it was a very, very good week in the market, man. I mean, it started off good. Monday, market, it gapped up. It was looking good in the morning, and then news came out from Apple that they're gonna slow down their hiring and they're gonna cut spending in some of their divisions, and then, you know, the market took that as a negative sign, so they just sold it off for the rest of the day Monday. That's a sign of a bear market right there, you know. Every news is bad news. You know, they just look for anything to go to dip the market.
Except for the banks.
But, yeah, true. So then that was short-lived, was, though, because yeah, then Tuesday, the market gapped up again. Like that Apple news didn't even exist, right. You know. So that's why we say sometimes the news doesn't even matter, man. You know, they're just like they're just looking for a catalyst, right?
That's right.
And then that was it. That was it for Monday, so. Tuesday, it was like that never happened. Wednesday came, all eyes were on Netflix earnings and Tesla earnings. Earnings weren't great for either company, to be honest, but the market liked it.
Yep.
So there you go. Again, the news really doesn't matter. And then so Wednesday and Thursday, market was strong. Market was very strong. One of those days, S&P was up, I think, over 100 points or something.
Yeah, man, that was nice.
I'm not sure if it was Wednesday or Thursday. It was crazy. So that was great. And then what was it? Friday came, and then I expected the market to take a breather. I texted you guys that the weekly expected move had been hit earlier this week. And usually when that happens, the higher probability is that they're going to try to pull it back, because the options market, they live on that expected move. So the market makers, they don't want the market to go too far either way, either pass on the lower side or the higher side of the expected move, because that's when they start losing a lot of money, and then they have to start hedging, dynamically hedging by, you know, buying or selling S&P futures. So I wasn't surprised that they pulled it back Friday. You know, it needed a breather. When it went, it was up, I think, over close to 4% or 3.5% the first 4 days of the week. So they leveled it off, and then so no surprise. I mean, that doesn't affect anything, you know, in the short term picture. Market's going to go up and down, right? So then volume was still good, right around average. That tells me it's a legit up move right now, you know. SPY is out of that 20-point chop zone that we talked about, that 371 to 391. So that's a good look. Trend is up. That's good. If it gets back in there, then we'll have to reassess. But right now we have to play it to the bull side, you know. It's out of that area. And the next thing I'm going to look at as far as the charts are concerned, now that SPY is out of that chop zone, I'm looking at the daily's looking good. It's over the 20 easily. Now I'm looking at the weekly. The weekly is getting closed. If SPY goes up another about 4%, then it'll get above that 20 on the weekly, and then it'll be really looking good for the bulls. So I'm liking that. So that's what happened last week. And then what I'm gonna look for next week, Jerome Powell and the Fed, and all eyes are on them.
Right, man.
So at the end of last week, we talked about there was a 70% probability of a 75 basis point hike. That actually went up this week to 80%. So I mean, they're probably gonna stick with that, you know. And then what else? Earnings, big earnings coming this week. Microsoft, Google report after the bell on Tuesday. I don't think those matter as much as the other ones later in the week, because the Fed is Wednesday. So they could pump it a little bit or hurt a little bit, but really the Fed is what's going to determine what happens this week. And then Facebook, aka Meta, they're in a bad spot because they report Wednesday afternoon.
Oh, man.
So people are still going to have...
With the Fed talking that, too, man, that's tough. That's tough.
They're going to have the rate hike still in their mind. So it could be good for Facebook, but if the market is looking at the hike as a bad thing, it might not matter, you know. It might hurt the stock, even though it's good, you know. And then the main event is Thursday. Amazon and Apple, you know. Those are the top dogs. So I'm going to be fascinated looking at the markets on Thursday, you know, playing up to the earnings of Apple and Amazon, because everybody's going to be thinking about the rate hike. Also, the rate hikes, that hurts big tech because they can't borrow money cheaply, you know.
That's right.
So if they stay 75 basis points, I mean, maybe it won't affect as much, but if the Fed surprises, it could hurt. And what else? The Bears are looking for big misses this week. You know, they're looking for big misses and a big hike to take this market back down. But I don't know. We'll see what happens, man. What do you think, Nick?
Hey, man, just like you said, I mean, a lot of the things that you say, you already know. We see the same. We have different strategies, but our fundamental basis of knowledge about the market is the same. So pretty much everything you said, I'm going to agree with. This week was very exciting. We had a nice rally this week, 3-day rally, which is great. It was great for pretty much all the sectors to see some kind of lift, right? And I think that going into next week, like you said, it's going to be all about the Fed. It's going to be all about the interest rates. There's still some things in the market that are going to be unaffected, like problems that are going to be unaffected by the hike in interest, like the supply chain. That really has nothing to do with the interest rates, and that's still a problem in our situation right now. So there is some catalysts that are going to continue to hold us down, but like we said, the S&P is above the 20. That's a confirmed uptrend. So we are in an uptrend as far as I'm concerned in the SPY. We're in an uptrend until we're not. Until it breaks that 20 coming down, then you know I'm looking at things as a bull. So everything looks good as far as that. Like we've been saying for the past few weeks, the short term, we're looking good, man. Every day we're going up and the SPY is not breaking down yet. So the SPY, in my opinion, is like the wind of the market. Everything is going to follow the SPY. So if the SPY goes up, we're going to lift the market. If the SPY goes down, we're going to break the market. So I think as of right now, we're good. The hike in the interest rates next week will be our catalyst, and then also big tech earnings, like we talked about. Those are going to be the things that are going to be swaying the market up and down next week. The fear and the greed of everything together, that's what's going to be. But I had fun this week, man. It was great. It was great to see things fly a little bit. It was nice to see some of the sectors that we've been adding to, like the industrials. We were adding to that last week, and then this week we got the breakout. So, you know, it makes you feel good that you're buying things at the right zone. And then, again, as the market pushes up, it's going to give everybody hope, like I talked about last week, that we're doing all right. So a lot of uncertainty is kind of becoming certainty as far as the uptrend, because we're in a bear market, but things are pushing up. So the only thing you got to kind of be concerned about is this a bear market rally, which is just a little push up, or is this going to start to change the trend of the market? So I don't think the trend is changing just yet, but I think, you know, the bear market rally that we've been having it's been refreshing and it's been good to see. So that's my take.
For sure. And I just want to add to that. Yeah, that's the thing when you're buying your purchases, setting up your purchases, you have to make the buy before the move happens. You know,
that's, right.
That's the thing. It might not look good right now, but that you're trying to get a good deal.
Yep,
that's what you're always trying to do. And then I have to update commodities, of course. Oil,
give it
oil,
to us, man, please.
Yeah,
give me the oil corn too, please.
It's coming. Oil is officially in a confirmed downtrend now. It's down about 20% in the past month.
Yeah, it's good.
Oil.
It's good.
And my friend Gold, it finally had a winning week.
The GLD, so baby.
That was good. It's getting close to that 20 EMA on the daily again. Remember about a month ago it was there and then it failed. So
you going to put someone on that breakout or what?
I already have a position in Gold, so
yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to add to it or not. But if it does, if it gets over that, I mean, I'll be thinking about adding some more on that. And then the bonds, they're looking strong. Uptrend on the daily. They closed over the 20 on the weekly. So let's see what the rate hike does to them, because they've been looking really good, the bonds, the past couple of weeks. And lastly, the agriculture products, they're back around the levels of
turn your microphone up, man, please.
When 2022 began, everything, you know, that has a lot to do though with the weather
of
lately,
course, man.
And there was a report on Friday that Russia and Ukraine made a deal to resume exports of grain. So that's leveling the prices back down. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Those things, they can't be too high or too low. They have to stay around the same price. You know, it sucks for the farmers but you know, that those levels shouldn't really stick, you know?
Yeah.
And sure. One more thing, volatility, it just keeps getting lower and lower and lower. So people need to start hedging now. They need to start hedging their portfolios now before the big spike comes. You can't look for protection when the storm hits. You have to prepare before it comes. So
risk management.
That's what I got. That's what I got on that, man.
That's good, man. And nice. we're just talking shit here, but all these numbers that Nell gives us about commodities and our resources as a country, these things matter, man. And these numbers are important. So we're just talking shit, but just listeners know that these numbers that we're saying, they're important, man.
Yeah, the food supply, they're predicting it's going to be a big problem in this country in the coming months. So, I hope they're wrong, but hey, you got to stay. Keep your eye on it, you know?
And don't waste any food, peeps. Don't throw anything away.
I'm not saying go to the store and start stocking up on cans of food and water and stuff, but, you know.
Not purchasing advice. Not resource advice here.
Just, you know, keep your eye on things, you know?
Yeah, man, you're right.
All right, Flip.
All right, fellas. In this next segment, Buy Zone, Nick and Nelson will discuss their weekly buys, open trades, and profit taking. For those of you who are new to investing, this is a great opportunity to get yourself familiar with the different companies that they mention so you can begin your own research and investment strategy.
No, take it away, man.
Okay. So, man, I traded so poorly this week, guys, man. I feel like I should have made a lot of money this week, but I left a lot of money on the table. I did close a couple of trades that I had on for profit, which is good, but I'm not trusting myself. You know, I like to take my quick profits, but the setups that I had, they were there, and I just cut them too short. So, yeah, Tuesday I closed MasterCard. I had that MasterCard trade that I put on last week. I was playing it into earnings. But MasterCard did exactly what I expected it to do. It went up. It flew up. I think it was up about 10, 11 points this week. But I cut it at 50% profit, which is fine. I mean, I'm not too upset with that. That's fine. You know,
in this market too, bro. I wanted to get it. In this market, you got to go green and get out, man.
Yeah. So that and that's a shorter term trade because their earnings is next week too. It's not a big player, but it's the 28th or 29th. So
yeah, you said you were playing earnings on that, right? That was the play, right?
Yeah, I was playing it for the run up to earnings, right. And I got the run up. Gotcha. So I'm not that upset with that. What I am upset about is Tesla, man. I had Tesla. I remember we talked about right after Elon backed out of the Twitter deal. I said that's going to be a catalyst for Tesla. They're gonna start going up, and they did, and they've been on a tear. I think I put that trade on when Tesla was about 700, and I think on Friday afternoon it closed at around 8:15.
Huge rally.
It was higher than
huge
that too.
Rally this week.
So. But what did I do? I closed the trade before earnings. I closed it for profit, 35% profit. But if I would have held, bro, I would have made easily over 100% profit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, hindsight's 20/20.
In those situations, you can't look at it like that, though. You know, it's kind of like you're getting in there, you're flipping it, you're trading it, and you're getting out. It's almost like when you buy like a house to flip, right? Like you don't look back on it in 2 months and say, shit, this house just went up 5 more percent. I should have held it. You flip it, you get your profit, and you get out, you know?
Yeah, I know. But it's like you know what it is when after the fact, when you see that you were right, and then you're like, ah, I could have made so much more money on this trade.
That's what hurts. Hey, those are the situations.
You know what it is? It's the bear market. I think it's in my mind, bro. It's in my head. Man. You know, it's like I'm like, I gotta get my money and get out because it's gonna go down
cautious,
the next day.
Especially
you know?
Where earnings around the corner, you're being cautious.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what it was. I took it off right before their earnings, like that Wednesday afternoon. I said, yeah, you know, I got 35% profit. What if it tanks, you know? Because, you know, Tesla, I don't even know. Like, they barely sell cars, so I don't know. I'm like, a bad number could come out. Like,
Could you have trimmed it and let it run?
Nah, I mean, the position wasn't that big, you know? I wish I would have had it. It was a small position, but still, even when those hurt too, course, you know? Man. So, yeah. Whatever, I got to get better. You know, I know I made profit. Like I should be happy, but I feel like I should be a better trader.
Man,
than that,
all right.
You know,
we're still learning out here, right? We're still learning to be a better trader.
Yeah,
bro.
Exactly. I mean, we got to show. Like, it's a working process.
It,
you know,
that's it.
So I didn't open any new trades this week, but my gold trade is still open and it's working. Because gold was up a little bit this week, so I'll definitely have a lot more patience with that trade because I have all the way until September expiration for that one. So that's all I did as far as trading this week. I wish I could have traded more, but with the heat, like I can't be on my phone out there at work sometimes, you know. So hey, we'll see if we can find anything for next week. I mean, there should be a lot of volatility with all the data drops and everything. So hopefully. We'll get on the right side of some things and let some winners run, you know? Sure. So that's what I did for trades.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say for number one is that just like what just you just said, you say that you can't really be on your phone when you're working and it's hot out there. So, but you still trade, right? Because you're a trader. So you trade. So I think that's a testament too for people that are listening that feel like, man, maybe I'm a little bit too busy for this game, or maybe, you know, I'm too overwhelmed with my situation. I got kids, I got work, or yada, yada, yada. Life is busy, right? But pretty cool, man, that you're out there. You work with your hands. You're a laborer, but you still make time to get in there and trade and put your trades in. Even if it's automated, you know, you still get in there and you still do it. So, you know, for the people that are listening that are very, very busy, there is a way when there's a will. So don't count yourself out until you try and see what you can handle.
Yeah, the markets are open from 9:30 Eastern time to 4 p.m. Eastern time. So
crypto trades 24 hours.
Yeah, and between that window, I mean, people, there's some time. Even if you put some limit orders in, and hopefully they get filled and everything.
Sure, man.
I mean, there's got between those 8 hours, you know, or whatever, 8.5 hours. There's got to be something. Like you have time to look. You have time to look at the market. You know, there's no excuse.
So, there's no excuse.
Yeah. So. Yeah, man.
So, yeah. Let's get into it here. You guys know what I do, what my motto is every week. I try to find quality dividend stocks that are undervalued in my setup that I can buy and capture the best dividend yield that I can and add to my forward income. So let's go through it here. We're going to go through some of our buys, and I'll explain it a little bit. All right. So I didn't invest or trade on Monday and Tuesday because it was a little up and down, and I wanted to see where the market was going. So I let it cool down a little bit. And then Wednesday, July 20th, there was a gap down on a company called Philip Morris, which is another cigarette company. Man, the listeners must think I'm crazy with these sin stocks. Like, man, right. All this guy buys is cigarette stocks. But yeah, so there was a little gap down there. And normally I wouldn't hit a stock that was down 5-6% in one day. Usually I let everything cool down. I let it, you know, come in. I let it set up, and then I buy it. But I saw that Philip Morris was hitting a previous level of support, and I knew that thing was going to hit it and then come back up. So as soon as I saw it hit that level of support, and when I say support is the latest low. So I saw that it hit the latest low, and then it started to shoot back up. So I grabbed $100 worth. So that was 1.09 shares at $91.29. And that was a 5.48 dividend yield. So just under $6 in forward income. That was Wednesday. Let's go to the next day. That was my index day. You guys already know, July 21st, my sister's birthday. So happy birthday, Christine.
Happy birthday to her.
Happy birthday.
Happy belated.
And she's down in North Carolina with my nephew and my mother, by the way. So, yeah, so 21st, that was her birthday. I put $125 into VTSAX, which is the Total Stock Market Index Fund. You guys know I do that every week. It's in my Roth IRA, which is tax-free. And that was 1.28 shares at $97.37, 1.6% dividend yield, just under $2 of forward income. So like I said, that's a long-term play. So, you know, I'm not really counting that income. It's just kind of just accumulating as we go. All right, then let's go to Friday, the 22nd. Same deal with this. If you guys saw yesterday, Verizon and AT&T, they shot down, right? They shot down. They got hit hard, and Verizon was down like almost 7%, right? And again, normally I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't go in and I wouldn't buy a stock that's down so much because I like to wait at least 3 or 4 days for it to cool down and see where it's going, right? But same kind of thing. I thought that it was an overreaction, and I thought that it was gonna come back up, which it didn't. So that was kind of a mistake on my end to buy it, but I did. And that was $100 of Verizon at 2.3 shares, and that was at $44.50. So the dividend yield was higher. When the prices come down on a dividend stock, the yield goes up. So, and then you lock it in. You lock it in. So whatever you buy it at, that's the yield that you're locking in those shares for life. So I got it at 5.76% dividend yield, and that's just under $6 in forward income. And then the last one was a company called Universal Corp, which is, again, it's a tobacco company. They're a manufacturer. They actually manufacture the tobacco leaf. So they don't produce cigarettes. They manufacture the leaf to other companies. And I've been holding on to them for a long time. I've been investing in them like probably since a later part of 2018. So that was $100 into there. The ticker is UVV, and that was 1.8 shares at $54.98, 5.75 dividend yield, and then just under $6 in forward income. So total, this is pretty much my typical recently, $425 in invested, 4.64% dividend yield, and just under $20 in forward income. So very happy with that, gentlemen. And you know me, I just nice. You know, continue to chop away at it. Base hit, brick by brick. We're just building this income and continuing to accumulate these dividends. Now, let's go to the weekly. No dividend payments this week. Absolutely none. So typically, July is a slower month for dividends. So not one payment this week, man. So we're just we're going to continue on and just keep doing it, man. So those are my buys for this week, Flip. What do you got?
All right, fellas, thank you for sharing your weekly buys, open trades, and your profit taking this week. So in this next segment, watch list, Nick and Nelson will discuss potential opportunities for next week and where to deploy capital. For those of you who are new, again, to invest, it's the great opportunity to get yourself familiar with the companies that they mentioned to begin your own research and investment strategies.
All right. So, yeah. So watch list for next week. I was a little early on Verizon, to be honest. So I'm probably going to put them on my watch list, see what they do. If they consolidate a little bit, maybe I'll buy one or two more shares. The industrials that I was buying, that broke out. So that kind of got away from me a little bit. A lot of my setups, they got away from me this week because it was a big rally in the market. So things were set up for me to buy and I was a little too late. And then it broke out above the 20 and then that's it. For my buying strategy, once it's above the 20, it's a breakout. And the ship is taking off and I got nothing to do with that anymore. So I only buy when it's at a bottom and at a low that I can get shares at an undervalue. But I'm just going to continue with Verizon and then see what else kind of breaks down with the earnings and everything next week. But, right now I'm just kind of keeping it open, my watch list for next week. But Verizon is definitely on the list for next week.
Patience, my friend. Patience. I mean, this is so funny because you know what I have on my watch list? Verizon. I also have Verizon on my watch list. We don't look at the same things, but we think so much alike, man. So, I'm definitely taking a deeper look at Verizon. They closed at 44.45 on Friday. And it hasn't been that low since November 2017, exactly. Bro. So it's
and that's, I got them at 44.50. So yeah. I waited for the end of the day on Friday, geez. And then I bought.
I have Verizon before, years ago, when I had a bunch of stock, man. And it's a good company, man. It's like, I have Verizon Fios as my internet provider, and I have Verizon Wireless. So, you know, I love Verizon, obviously. And then it pays out $2.56 per share annually. And at about over 5.5 yield, you know what I'm saying? So
depending on where you buy it,
I'm saying so. I'm definitely taking a deeper look at that. You know, I'm looking to add to my portfolio too of stocks. You know,
yeah, man.
And then that's the thing. You got to wait for that right moment. And this could be a good opportunity. Not investment advice. Do your research, but
absolutely not investment advice. Yeah, we're just telling you what we are doing.
Do your research
to do.
And then my bullish setup. Another one you mentioned before, PM, Philip Morris, man.
There, you see this, man? You see this?
Yeah.
Anyway, peeps, do you see this,
great
man?
We
didn't even talk about this before the show started. Like, this is organic. So
yeah, exactly.
You bought it at a good time because I saw Thursday they had earnings and they shot up.
Yep.
So exactly. You're already up on that buy.
I'm up like 4% already.
Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah. You know? Philip Morris closed over the 20, the daily 20. If it shows some more momentum early this week, I would jump on it with some, you know, whichever way you trade it, with shares or with calls, you know, it is what it is. And then I'll be watching the Qs this week. Tech, it could be a short play with the rate hike coming, you know, plus the big earnings. So I'll be watching the tech sector very, very closely this week. And just, you know, whatever they tell you they're going to do, just follow it. Just, you know. Follow the market. Don't try to be too smart.
That's it, man.
If it's going up, just hop on that bandwagon. If it's going down, hop on that one. You know,
that's it.
Sometimes you just got to follow the trend, right?
Yeah.
It's that simple sometimes. So that's my watch list.
Oh, I forgot to mention, I put a little more shares on my Delta trade, and then I opened one for oil too, swing trades.
Oh,
so
nice.
I opened an oil swing trade, and then I think I'm playing the double leveraged.
Okay.
Which is not investment advice. Nuh-uh. Not investment advice. Just sharing what I'm doing. And so I added to my Delta trade and I put one on for oil. So, few shares here and there. I don't have a lot of money right now to give to the trades, swing trades, but you know, I'm a trader, so I'm going to trade. If I got $20, I'm going to trade because I'm a trader, bro.
Listen, got to put your money to work for you, man.
That's it, man. You know? That's it. So all right. That's where we're at.
All right, fellas. For this week, our topic train discussion is how to invest in a bear market. So what is a bear market, right? A bear market is defined as any period in which prices fall by 20% or more, which typically makes many investors afraid of investing in the markets. During this time, a lot of people end up taking their money out of the market, which then results with them losing any gains that have been erased by the current market condition. Now, one thing to remember, though, is after looking at the past, is that a bear market has always been followed by stronger gains in stocks that eventually, as a whole, ends up stronger before the bear market began. So here's the first tip from the flip. Invest in index funds. For most investors, most of the time, the best investment is in an S&P 500 index fund. For example, you have FXAIX, which is the Fidelity 500 index fund, SWPPX, which is the Schwab S&P 500 index fund. And if you remember from 2 weeks ago, Nick invested in the VFIAX, which is the Vanguard 500 index fund, Admiral Shares. So these tend to give you the best balance of diversity, since an index fund represents a broad spectrum of individual stocks and assets versus growth. So while individual stocks may not recover from a bear market, historically, the stock market overall tends to do so. As a result, buying into an index fund while the market is down is a good way to buy a historically strong asset at a reduced price.
Well said, Flip. Beautiful. That was like, that was a beautiful explanation of a bear market. It really was. That was well said, bro.
Well, thank you. Those glasses, man.
Something's in that brain today, man. Right?
Flip has allergies. Flip is out here, glasses baby. On.
Looking like a professor out here right now, man. Professor McKayan's out here.
You know what I'm saying? You know? All right, so I guess I'll go first. I'll speak on this first. Unless, Flip, you want to speak first? You want to give a little insight first? Oh, that was it? That was it?
That was right. It.
Wonderful.
That was intro, but man, that was wonderful, bro. That was very good. All right, so let's talk a little bit about this. Now, a bear market is something that brings a lot of uncertainty, right? So it brings a lot of uncertainty and makes people very uncomfortable, especially when we're talking about, you know, common shares. We're talking about just somebody that's putting their money into the market and hoping for the best. Those are usually the people that are very, very hurt by the bear market. So my advice, what I would do in a bear market, I'm going to talk about both. I'm going to talk about investing and I'm going to talk about trading. We should probably do an episode that we go over, like, the differences between being a trader and being an investor, right?
Yes, sir.
Ooh, that could be a topic train for another day, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Could be next week.
But yeah, so let's go over this. I'm going to give you both aspects of what I think, in my experience, what is a sound advice. So let's talk about trading first. Now, trading is, this is what I would say about trading. When you're trading in a bear market, number one, I think that you should focus on less trades, in my opinion. You should focus on quality over quantity. You don't want to be reaching. You don't want to be messing around with too many penny stocks, things like that. You don't want to go anywhere near things that can go to zero, especially in a bear market. So that would be number one. So I would be very, very cautious as to what you trade. Look for quality over quantity. Going back to the point that Flip made, I think that's very sound advice, even for trading. Even as far as a trader, if you want to be a little bit more on the conservative side, especially in a bear market, you can trade the index funds. You can trade the indexes. You can trade the SPY. You can trade the Qs. You can trade, all small cap, mid cap, large cap. All those things are on the safer side, because it's gonna be hard for me to be convinced that those funds are going to zero. The S&P 500 is going to zero. So I don't think so. So if you feel like you want to be on the more conservative side and you're not ready to be very aggressive, either you're not experienced or you're not comfortable with it, then I would look to trade the indexes. Now, as far as investing in a bear market, I think it's all about quality, in my opinion. I don't think now is the time to really be reaching and going more into risk as far as investing in companies that are not making money or not real businesses and things like that. I think you should go for quality at this time. I'm not saying forever, but at this time during a bear market, I think your quality S&P 500 companies that are inside that fund, I think those are safe bets to put your money into during a bear market. So that would probably be my advice as far as investing and trading. And just be careful. You gotta watch yourself, and I would say you gotta be more on the conservative side than aggressive side in times like this. There'll be a time to be more aggressive, but now is probably not the time to be going too hard. So yeah, that's my advice. What do you got, Nell?
That's good, man. That's very good. Well, first, nice. I'm gonna say this. Historically, there's been 27 bear markets and 27 bull markets since 1928, right? So what's the big deal? I mean, bear markets are a common thing, right? But the difference is that a bear market lasted about an average of 9.6 months and a bull market lasts about 2.7 years, right?
Or 10.
So since most of the times in the market, they're good times.
Yep.
This is when you got to start preparing, right? So you prepare. Preparation means a couple things to me. You should be doing your research on companies during the bull market, giving price targets to companies, you know. That means you're probably not gonna find a lot of good deals during the bull market. So don't buy them, you know, quote unquote cheap prices, you know. So, but you know, people always say, oh, but a stock's never gonna go, they're never gonna get down there, so you should just buy it anyway. Yeah, I mean, you can, that's true. But if you're invested for the long term, you also need patience, right? So just look at the last 3 years. There's been plenty of opportunities where stocks dropped way below whatever, you know, people think was, oh, that's too low, it's not going to happen. You know, 2020, even this year, stocks they've been crushed. So there's always going to be a chance to buy stocks cheaper. And then preparation, it also means how are you going to buy these stocks, right? And that's where we go back to the last couple of weeks, our topic trains, debt and budgeting. If your finances aren't on point all the time, you're not gonna be able to take advantage of opportunities during bear markets. So
right.
You do your research, have your money straight. You have to prepare. Do your research, man. That's the most important thing. And then don't go all in on the first big down move. You know, when that first red comes, oh, I'm getting a great deal. Don't put all your money in there, you know, because it could always go lower, as we've seen. It could always go lower. And then, of course, dollar cost averaging, it works. It's been a proven investment strategy that works. Nobody could really time the market. You could maybe time it short term here and there, like we've been doing with the industrials and the tech stuff. But in the long term,
well, it just worked out for us. It wasn't, you know, it's not a guarantee that it's going to stop.
I know. It worked this time, right? That doesn't mean it's always going to work, right?
So, like, you could pick the bottom, but is it the bottom?
Yeah, you don't know.
It could go down another leg.
And it could be luck, you know?
That's it, man. That's it.
So I love the saying or the analogy. It's when there's a sale at a store, everybody wants to go shopping. But when there's a sale in the stock market, everybody's too afraid to buy. Like,
that's right.
You know what I'm saying? Why? Right. Just be different. Don't be like other people and go and build your wealth. So that's my
love that.
That's what I got to say about that. Man.
That was solid, bro. That was solid. Yeah, we need one of those like clapping sound effects. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. So, I mean,
that was solid, though, bro. Good. Sound advice, man.
Cool.
Well, that concludes this week's show. Thanks for joining us on another episode of the Eternal Money Podcast. Don't forget to rate us, leave a review, and share this podcast if you learned anything or know anyone who would find this information helpful. Once again, follow us on Instagram at Eternal Money Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Eternal Money Pod. Or find us on YouTube at the Eternal Money Podcast. Please tune in next week. See if the Fed will spoil big tech earnings. Have a great week, everyone, and stay cool.
Yes, yes. All right. Thanks, guys, for coming by. We're really enjoying the process of giving you guys some sound value, and hopefully you guys are too. So please continue to come by and listen to us, share, like, comment, whatever you need to do. We appreciate the support, and we see everything. So if you send a comment or a message or anything, we see it all. So again, we appreciate it, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, guys. Keep an eye on the market, and don't trust it. See you next week. Peace.
Get your money right, man. Get your money right.
Peace.